Good evening and welcome to Living Hope Baptist Church, Brian. I wanted to welcome you this evening, and one thing I wanted to draw your attention to right off the bat. You see up here in this corner, this upper right-hand corner, this 201 in red? That means they need help in the nursery. So when you see 201 up there anytime during a service, that means they need some help in the nursery. So if any of y'all would mind going back and helping this evening, okay, thank you, Caitlin. We're going to need a couple extra hands back there, and so we already have some headed back that way. Thank y'all for doing that. For those who are visiting this evening, we thank you for taking time out of your Saturday to come join us. In front of you in the pew, there's a visitor's card. And we would like you to fill that out. And as the offering plate comes around later this evening, just drop that visitor's card in there. And that's the only thing that we want to get from y'all as visitors. Our members are very faithful in taking care of all of the financial needs that we have here at Living Hope. And so we want to thank you for giving us that card so we can just send you a note to say thank you for visiting. We do have a few announcements that I want to draw your attention to on the back of your worship guide. First off, it's not too late to sign up for a mission trip. There is still help needed with this Bible camp here in Bryan. And so if you're interested in helping with the kids do the Bible camps, if you're not, you know, if you don't feel like you're helping with the kids, we still need prayer volunteers to cover those camps in prayer. We'll be doing lunches for those children every day. And so there'll be about an hour, hour and a half block in the morning where lunches will need to be fixed and ready. And so there's several things that people can still do. We still have room for more workers. If you'll just contact Sarah Miller, and her email and telephone number are both on the back of your worship guide. Another thing, if you want to get plugged in, you want to know how to find out what's going on here at Living Hope, a lot of our announcements go out through email. You just get in touch with Josh Kirchhoff, and his email address is there on the back of the worship guide, and we'll get you hooked up into that so we can get you information about what's going on during the week. And then the last thing that I wanted to point out is we do have a very brief business meeting tonight after the worship service. It shouldn't last more than 10 or 15 minutes, but there are a few important things that we need to go over with y'all as a congregation. The budget is one of those, and then there's a couple of other things that we need to discuss. But again, we will not take very much time for that this evening. So we would like you, if you can, if you're a member here at Living Hope Bryan, to stay with us a few moments this evening, and let's take care of this business quickly. Thank you, and let's worship together.
As we take a couple minutes at the beginning of the service to prepare our hearts for worship, there's going to be some scriptures and some words on the screen. You'll just pay attention to those and ask God to help you to put aside everything else going on in your life right now and focus in on Him, because He is worthy of everything that we have and everything that we are. So help us to be ready. If God deals with something in your heart, take care of it right now. So let's prepare our hearts right now. Dear Lord, we come to You tonight asking for Your help. God, help us to worship You. God, help us to realize how big and how amazing and how good You are, and to respond to that, Lord. God, help us to worship You. We need You this evening, God. Lord, it's so easy for us sometimes to get excited about our team or our big accomplishment, God. Help us to be excited about You. You've done the biggest thing. You are the best team. You always have the victory. So, Lord, as we come to You, help us to be excited about You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all stand with us.
Pray with me. God, we just are so glad. It's our joy to worship you, Father. Lord, thank you that we can have that joy through you, God. God, I ask that if no one here tonight knows that joy, that it is to worship you and please you and honor you. God, I just pray that you'll save people tonight. Change hearts. God, just mold us and change us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
The children come up for children's chat. How is everybody? Good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What's going on this next week? School?
Spring break.
Spring break? What, has anybody got any plans for spring break?
I'm going to my granddad's house.
You going to your granddad's house? Well, that'll be fun.
I'm going to
SeaWorld. Going to SeaWorld
Waco.
What was that?
Going to the zoo in Waco.
I'm going to the zoo in Waco.
I'm going to.
So, well, if you look around, you notice we don't have near as many people here tonight. You know where some of them went? To where?
Out of town.
Out of town? Anybody know any specific places they went?
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. That's right. We sent a group. We sent part of our body to Edinburgh. You know where else? Malaysia. Nicaragua. So, why did they go to those places?
Tell people about Jesus.
For spring break. They went there to tell people about Jesus. This week, they went there, they went on mission. Because they wanted to tell people about the love of Christ that he tells us about in his word, that Alan's going to be telling us about tonight. And they gave up their week to go and tell people about the great news. And so, guys, we need to be praying for them this week. That, you know, wherever we are, we can be a part of what they're doing. We can join in what they do, and we can support them through prayer. And so, this week, wherever you are, if you're with family or friends, or if you're just at the house, I want to challenge you guys to think about those. Think about your brothers and sisters in Christ that are out, and they're out preaching in places that are not home to them. They may not be very comfortable being there, but it's because they love Jesus, and that's why they're there. And so let's pray for them, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Father, that you sent from here, Father, to Edinburgh, to Beaumont, to Nicaragua, to Asia. Father, I pray that you will just be with them. I pray that you will just get them there safely, Father. But most importantly, I pray that they will preach your word, Father, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you will move hearts, Father, and change lives to save souls, Father, by your power, by your grace, by your love. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Can I have the spark?
Pray with me. Here we are, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us to mean what we say when we sing. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Help us to understand what submission means. God, we need you this evening. Lord, don't let us treat this as just what we do on Saturday. Help us to realize that you are meeting with us. This is an amazing thing. Amazing time. Help us to understand what you're trying to tell us, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear this evening. And not just so that we can hear, but God, that so you'll change us. Help us to respond your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Oh, come on now. We ain't going to start like that. We ain't starting like that. Let's go. Good evening. How's everybody tonight? All right, there you go. I know I'm going to have to coach you guys up tonight because we're talking about submission. It's going to be a hard word, but it's going to be a good word, okay? And I was contemplating, I looked, kind of how we do these particular sermon series. We started out in 1 Peter, and we're going to continue in 1 Peter even through spring break and stuff. And so it's kind of interesting how these things work out, you know, and I've got a little schedule when I preach and Butch preach and stuff. So I look ahead, you know, to see what we're going to be preaching on. And actually, I was supposed to be doing the Peter 1:11 through 12, and the submission was, well, I probably was going to have to do that too. But as I was looking at that, I was thinking, wow, man, that's going to be tough, you know. But one of the things that the Lord has shown me is that submission is not a bad word, okay? And so last week, we're going to continue in our series, Practical Grace. And as we were just singing a while ago, I'm like, man, how in the world can I portray this to people that submission is a positive thing, you know? And then when we recognize that the grace of God, and we recognize the things that He's done for us, and we recognize what an amazing God that we have, really submission will be easy. You know, because we're going to find out tonight that submission to us as Christians should be an act of worship, you know, not just something that we have to do, okay? But last week we learned that from Butch's sermon, it was amazing. I was back in the back with the kids and stuff, but I listened to it online. I praise God for Josh and those guys that can do that technical stuff, because it's like I was here, you know, so I got to listen to it. And so if you don't know about that, he was giving you to get Josh's email, to get in the know there. We do tape the sermons, and so if you miss or something, you got an opportunity, you can pick that up and listen. But as I was listening, one of the things that struck me about what Butch talked about is how he said we're a people belonging to God. That's what we learned last week, okay? We're a people belonging to God. We're God's masterpiece. And that's one of the things, man, and that just stuck with me, and how the fact that as masterpieces, you know, we're to portray the master who drew the masterpiece. He talked about the Mona Lisa and things like that, and how there's such a great, wonderful picture of some amazing things that the master can do, okay? But the masterpiece was always intended to bring glory to the master, okay? And so we're masterpieces. We're people belonging to God, okay? He created us to do good works. And he talked in Ephesians how these good works that he created for us in advance for us to do. A lot of us, there's things that we need to do as Christians to show this world what our God's all about. I'm fixing to move this thing. All right, I got to move it. I'm sorry. And maybe not. Okay, we'll just leave it like it is. If I fall off, it'll be okay. I'm good, Matt. It's no problem. I'm just a little uncomfortable. I may even have to use my glasses tonight. I'm going to tell you what, the devil's real. and he don't want nothing good to happen. I can tell you that for sure, because this week has been crazy, you know. And so I know that this is a message that some of you need to hear tonight, okay? But we're God's masterpieces, and so we got to give God the credit. As God's masterpiece, it's our job to make God look good to a watching world. We need to make God look good, okay? And so tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 17, we're going to look at some of the good works that Paul was talking about. And we're going to look at the act of submission as one of the ways that we can declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. That's what Bush talked about last week, how that's what we're doing. We're declaring the praises to God in being His people, belonging to God. Okay, and we're going to learn that we can worship God through submitting to others. And so, ladies, we're going to talk about submission tonight. Don't get all worked up, okay? Because we're not even going to go in Ephesians 5. That's later, okay? Because this is a series on different kinds of submission, but I really felt like that we really need to look at what this submission is all about and what true biblical submission is all about. And as I looked at this, and one of the things that I do when I teach is I read the scriptures, try to see what God's saying, and then when I go to work and I go out in the world and I go out in the everyday, I start looking around and say, God, what kind of things can I learn from just what's going on around me? Because you know what? God teaches us in that just as much as He does in His Word. Now, His Word is more, you can depend on it more than the things that go on around you, but you can really learn about things. And so what I really learned today, that this week, people don't like to submit. Nobody. Nobody likes to submit. And so one of the things I wanted you to think about tonight, if you're sitting here and you're one of those people that don't like to submit and it just gets all on you to even think about the possibility of submitting, I want you to realize that God has a word for you tonight, because you're here. We're on a series. This isn't something I just decided to preach on. That's the cool thing about the way we do things here. We're doing this series, and I learned at one of the conferences that I went to that this expositional preaching and preaching through sermons is a great way to keep y'all off of me. Because I didn't dream up this. I mean, this you just happened to hit the day we talked about submission. So if you're here today and submission is a sore spot for you, I'm sorry. Because you're here and God's here and this was made for you. So let's just settle in, ease up, get the bristles down, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about submission, okay? But one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that when we think about submission, almost all the time it's a negative thought, you know, like Joe was talking about in the prayer time. So seems like when we're asked to submit to somebody, we just kind of put up that guard and say, man, something just happens. Something just wells up in us when we're asked to submit. Okay, and as humans, someone tells us to do something, there's a sense of defiance that's in us. Who do you think you are? We just don't like it when we're told to submit. So how do we reconcile the fact that what my title is that submission as an act of worship? So how do we reconcile those two things, submission versus worship? It's not submission versus worship. It's submission because you love God and in worship. Okay, so let's look at the two. Submit. Let's look at this word submit. To retire, to withdraw, to yield to, or to give in. And that's a dictionary, Bynes Dictionary. And sometimes these words, to really get the true biblical meaning of the word, you got to go and look up other areas, you know. And so Bynes is a great place for y'all to know what the words really mean, okay? To retire, withdraw, to yield. That's to give in, to submit. And one of the reasons, why do we normally submit? I'll suggest to you tonight, sometimes that you submit just out of fear of punishment. Okay, you're scared of getting in trouble. That's one of the reasons that we submit. I remember in high school, I got a lot of speeding tickets, you know. But you know what's funny is I didn't, even though I got all those speeding tickets, it didn't keep me from speeding. Because, I mean, the fine wasn't that big deal to me because all I was really spending my money on was, you know, stuff I shouldn't have been spending my money on, you know. We won't go there. Got kids in the room. But now, as a dad and a person who has bills, when somebody gives me a fine, it really hurts, you know. And so I think of one specific time, because even at that, Joseph was talking about it. I mean, I wish I could say, Joseph, that I submit to speeding because that's what the Lord wants me to do, and I need to go 3 miles under the speed limit. But I'm gonna tell you, I submit to speed limit signs because I don't want no more fines. I got one time, and then the week later, I was going to Houston, and I got another one, and I really wasn't speeding. Yeah, that's what everybody says, right? That's the first thing we all said. I really wasn't speeding, you know? Well, I exited over there in Houston, and there was a guy, one of them guys, one of them authorities that we're going to talk about tonight. He was just sitting there, and he got me. Not only did he got me in a work zone. Ooh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Got me in a work zone. Double the pay, all right? I'm going to tell you, I tried to get out of that as hard as I could. I wanted to get out of that. I'm like, there wasn't nobody there. It was Saturday. You know, I even called. I'm like, come on, guys, there wasn't nobody there. It was Saturday. I said, I don't care. Pay the fine. And you know what's really cool about that? I don't speed anymore. Two fines in one day. When you're a guy who has bills, that's a big deal. You know, because you can't just say, well, that didn't hurt. That hurt. I mean, you know, that really hurt. And so sometimes you submit because of things like that, because of the fear of the punishment, or even the fear of going to jail. If you really realize that jail's a big deal, you know, going to jail will make you submit to some of the rules. Sometimes you just have no other choice. That's why some of y'all submit. And how many, I'm going to talk to the guys here real quick. How many of y'all watch Ultimate Fighting? Man, y'all missed. Okay, there you go. Go ahead. It's okay. There's nobody looking. That's all right. It's barbaric and it's dumb. I mean, you know, women, if y'all don't watch it, that's perfect, you know. but there's a part in Ultimate Fighting and in these different wrestling things. Some of these guys, they are well versed in the art of submission. Okay. And so they get over there and they'll fight any way that they can fight. But ultimately, at some point, they've got these secret little moves that if you mess up, they're going to get you in. And they're going to either have your head twisted over here, your arm twisted back over here. But what happens is the guy who was so tough 15 minutes ago is tapping. He's tapping his deal because he's like, oh, no, I quit. Because he's fixing to either lose an arm or he's fixing to go out, you know. And so they just subdue him into submission, you know. But they're not submitting because they want to. They're submitting because it's life or death, okay? And so I submit to you that some of y'all, that's the way y'all submit. Out of just that divine, out of like, man, it's a last resort. That's the only reason that I'm doing it is because there's no way. And I think of that story of the little kid, and this is a real common story, and I know y'all know it. The little kid that his mama told him to sit down over and over and over again. Finally, she went up there and grabbed him and sat him down and said, if you get up, I'm going to tear your tail up. And the little kid just sitting there, he said, well, I may be sitting down on the inside, sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That ain't the kind of submission we're talking about, folks, you know, because every one of us are going to submit at some point to somebody, okay? That's not what we're talking about. True biblical submission as an act of worship is something that we do voluntarily because we love God. Okay? So let's look at worship. Worship, to bow down in homage to a superior, to reverence, stressing a feeling of awe and devotion to serve. Okay? It's to serve, stressing a feeling of awe and devotion. And I look at these two things and I think, worship and submission, one of them is to yield to. Worship, to bow down to. It's really similar stuff. I mean, submitting and worshiping is really, really very similar. The only difference between the two is the mindset and the heart of what in which you're doing it, okay? Just like I talked before, if you're like the little kid, you're like, I'm submitting just because I have to. That's different, okay? But if you're the kind of Christian that says, God, your word, your ways, these are the things that I'm submitting to, okay? It's a stressing of feeling of awe and devotion. You're so devoted to God that there's no way that you're not going to submit to him, especially if he comes to you with his word, okay? The word is the main thing that I think that we're called to submit to. Tonight we're going to look at, in 1 Peter 13, we're going to be talking about submitting to the authorities that are over us. And for some of us, we don't want to do that at all. Because one of the reasons we don't submit to people sometimes is because maybe we don't feel like the person we're called to submit to is worthy of our submitting to, okay? That's why we don't do it. But we do serve a God that is worthy of you submitting to. And so we're going to use God's word tonight to hopefully at least channel you in a way to say, hey, even if I don't feel like it, because of God's word, this is what I'm going to do, okay? So the word is so amazing, and it's the one. It's the only thing that's going to change our heart, okay? So what makes you worship something or someone when we're looking back at worship? I'd say it's because you value them. You know, you value, they're valuable to you, or you recognize them as a superior. So the only way that you're going to worship God is if you value him and you're going to look at him as a superior. So as I was looking and thinking about this, and I had already studied in 1 Peter verses 1, 11, and 12, I thought, well, as we look at verses 13, I really do think that there's a pivotal passage in verses 11 and 12. And so we're going to look at God's word. But first, before we get to 13, we're going to look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. So turn in your Bibles there. We're going to do some other scriptures and stuff, so get ready. So if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. And if you don't have one, that you can keep that one. That's for you. So mainly we've got some in the pews, hopefully, that y'all can use. So let's look at God's word and this idea of submission. You know, and this is a hard word tonight. And this hard word is, as we'll get along, it really, every week, seems like God tears me up with my own studying, you know. So these hard words, this isn't just on you guys either. It's burning up in here. I think it's just because I'm getting hot. All right. So it's 1 Peter verses 1, 11 through 12. He says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that they accuse you of doing wrong, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. And see, Peter's talking to these Christians. He's calling them dear friends. And I'm going to just tell you right now, y'all are dear friends to me. The fact that this group of people submits to Joe Montgomery, Brian Miller, and Alan Palermo as the elders is an amazing act of God. Okay? We recognize that. But we recognize that y'all are not submitting to us because we're worth them anything. It's because y'all love God. And we recognize that. And it's a pleasure serving and working with you guys, because somebody asked me, how's it going over there at Living Hope, Brian? I said, man, you know what? It's kind of like a player piano. We're just up here, look like we're making good music. Everybody else is doing all the work, you know? It's just really amazing that how good it's going. But you know what? It can go bad any minute. So we want to make sure that we keep this thing going. And so let's just continue. That's a little side note, because I love you guys so much. Because dear friends, y'all are my dear friends. I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, we are not of this world. We're in this world, okay? We are not of this world. It says to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Man, we have got to abstain. We have got to fight these sinful desires to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. My son just got back from Kenya on a mission trip with his church, and one of the things that he told me about, and just kind of struck me, and I think it applies here. He went, and they were going to these villages and stuff, and they were going along with this pastor from another church there in Kenya. Well, when he walked into the village, a lot of these people in the village had necklaces on that the witch doctors had given them, you know. And this guy, same guy that probably went in there really, really calm at times and trying to love on them, man, he went crazy on them, my son said. He said he got in there running, and he said, you don't play with the devil. Don't play with the devil. They were receiving things from the witch doctors, and even though that probably seemed meaningless to them, they're playing with the devil, okay? And I really do believe that that's what Peter's telling these people. Don't play with the devil. Take your sin seriously. Don't play with the fact that these thoughts that come to your mind that you don't take captive, don't play with that. Take your sin very, very seriously, because it wars against your soul. Because you can find, in this area of submission to your government and government authority that we're going to get to in a minute, you can find hundreds, thousands of people to agree with you as to the way that we should or shouldn't respond to our president, you know, to our governors, to our sheriffs, to our police officers and things like that. You can find a number of people that can think the way you think. But at some point, we have to be different. And that's what I'm hoping that y'all learn from tonight, that anything that we do as a result to our worship to God is made for people to see and glorify our God, just like the masterpiece, okay? So stay away from the devil. He said, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That's why we do what we do. Every time you love God, but it's done with a purpose. See, nothing that happens in your life, all these things that come through, all these negative things that come through your life, they're not on accident. They didn't catch God by surprise. And as we're going to find out in Romans 13, neither does who the fact that the president or the sheriff or the police, he knows who's going to be here. And so we really need to trust God, okay? So we need to live good lives in front of the pagans. And we're going to see a little bit later, even in the story, that sometimes how we act, it allows pagans to even get saved. You know, and so just realize that this is a big deal. Our lives should draw people to Jesus. Our lives shouldn't be something that was just for us. Okay, so let's get into verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. It said, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So he says, submit ourselves, and that's going to be up to you whether you submit yourselves or not. Just like the little kid, you know, there's times that you're going to be made to sit or whatever, but we're called to submit ourselves, okay? That's something that we need to do. This is another area that we need to prepare our minds. We talked a few weeks ago about preparing our minds for action. This is another area that we need to prepare our minds, because we're going to have the opportunity to be told what to do when you leave here tonight. And so we really need to get a grasp on what this looks like. And we're going to see, too, there's times to stand up and there's times to submit. But we're going to use God's word to decide that. It says, for the Lord's sake. It's an act of obedience and worship. And we're supposed to make God famous to every authority instituted among men. It didn't say just the ones that you feel like are worthy. Okay, every authority that's instituted among men, even those you don't think deserve it. So let's turn over to Romans 13, 1 through 7, because this is a part of the passage that says submit to every authority, but Romans 13 does such a great job of actually telling us kind of what that looks like and giving us some other reasons why to do that. So y'all turn over Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. All right. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Did anybody notice he said it twice? I think when a writer says something twice, I think he really means it. You know, the authorities that have existed are set established by God. I think that's a big deal. For us to recognize that when we're called to submit to governmental authorities, to police authorities, and all the different kind of authorities in our life. And it says to everyone earlier, we talked about, we are to submit to every authority instituted among men. That covers a lot of authoritarian figures, okay? Not just the president and the governors. But he said it twice that God knows who's going to be in authority. All through the book of Kings, man, you have wicked kings and you have good kings. And they were still called to submit to the wicked kings as well. Okay? And we're going to see some stories in here where there's times where we don't have to submit in certain areas. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is a rebelling against what God has instituted. For those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong... But for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. There's authorities out there. The reason they're out there is for us. Every one of us want authority, whether we like it or not. I don't want everybody driving as fast as they want to drive. I want rules. I want governing stuff. And so I want people to submit to the authority. He said, he is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. And then when I read that verse there, it says, he is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Man, I was thinking back when I was lost, and acting a fool. And I did a lot of things and I got away with them. You know, I broke some laws. I did some things and I got away with them. But you know, now that I'm God's people, I'm one of his chosen ones. I'm a royal priesthood. You know, God has set us apart. Man, I can't get away with nothing. Man, every time I do something, I get caught. You know, every time I speed, I get a ticket. You know, it's just so wild that God wants to really turn us in and begin to show us. And even if I don't get caught by the authorities, I get caught by God. because this is the big, this, man, God is everywhere. But honestly, even I get caught. Does anybody else the same way? Man, I feel bad because I was like, man, I used to be pretty slick. I'm not slick no more, you know. But God really wants me to be so set apart that I don't look like the world. And so if it takes him slapping me around a little bit, that's what it's okay. That's because the Bible says that God disciplines those that he loves. And man, and I fully accept that discipline because God loves me and he is a good old spanker. He'll do it. Y'all are laughing because y'all know. And I hope y'all aren't getting away with anything either. You know? Because God disciplines those that he loves. And if you can just go out and live like the world and God isn't putting any kind of discipline on you, you need to ask yourself whether you're really a child of God. If you're continually getting away with stuff, you know, because God loves us too much to just let us go off and be wild. Okay? And it says, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. And that conscience there, you know, lost people have conscience and saved people have conscience. I think it's just a little bit different, though. The conscience, I looked up that word. It's the faculty by which we apprehend the will of God. See, conscience to a Christian is that avenue that we apprehend the will of God. It's the Holy Spirit in us that says, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, lost people call it a conscience, but for the believer, that's God. See, it's not just that little thought that, man, you know, I don't need to be doing that. That's God saying, I try to get to the point in my obedience with God that I don't have to go through the whipping so much. My father-in-law, he's got this little trick where he can raise his eyebrow at his kids, you know, and just let them know that that wasn't quite right. See, that's where I want to be with God. I want to be where I respond to the eyebrow. I don't want to be to that point to where he's got to run me down and tackle me and sit me down and say, I'm going to tear your tail up if you get up again. You know, I don't want to be that way. I want to be that child, that obedient child, that one that says, okay, I can't do the one eyebrow. But it's effective. I'll tell you, y'all, those of y'all that can, it's pretty effective. That's I don't know where I was going. Now I'm lost. Okay. As it says, it's the faculty by which we apprehend the will of God is that which is designed to govern our lives, a sense of guiltlessness before God. It's that idea of me and God are okay. You know, that conscience. So it's saying, therefore, it's necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, so you can stay right with God. See, it's hard to worship God because we're talking about the submission as an act of worship. It's hard to worship God when you're running from him. It's hard to worship God when you're not obeying him, okay? And as I was studying this this lesson, I thought about leaving out verse 6. Y'all read on down, then y'all understand. Because this is where I told you this is a hard word. This is a big deal to me. God has really worked on me in this area. He says, this is also why you pay taxes. Let us pray. That's hard for me, guys. I mean, the reason that it's hard for me, because I don't trust where the money's going personally. But you know what? That's not my call. God put them in authority. They make their money being, you know, that's not my call. So as I've examined myself this week, I'm like, how in the world am I going to turn April 15th into a time of worship? For some of y'all it is because y'all get money back. I heard y'all. They were like, oh, yeah. I don't. And so taxes has always been a big deal to me, okay? It says, that's why you pay taxes for the authority of God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If honor, then honor. And God really had convicted me a long time about taxes, because as a business owner, you know, you can do this little thing like cash discount. See, people just give you the green cash and you don't have to file it. So, man, I did that for years. And God said, uh-uh. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen people. You got to pay taxes just like everybody pays taxes. And I said, okay, God, I'll do that. I'm praising you because I know you're going to make my tax bill go down when I'm honest. It doubled. It doubled. It made me hate taxes more. It doubled. But you know, today, God has given me just a heart to realize that this just this week, I got to pay again this year. But praise God, not near as much last time. Because I've been praying this year. It says ask, pray on any, in all things, in prayer and supplication, and present your request to God. Y'all, that ain't dumb. I'm praying next year too, you know. Because I believe God loves me, you know. And I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to. But his word says, I don't want to pay any less than I have to. But pay those that you owe. You pay taxes, okay? Quit cheating, God's people. I was waiting for that pen to drop. Because we are different. I'm different. You're different. And one of the reasons, like I said, that I really don't like paying taxes is because I just really don't trust the governments doing what I want them to do with it. You know, like that's my big deal. But as I was studying this lesson too, Peter was talking to a group of people who had to submit to a leader, a king named Nero. And I read a little bit about Nero. And if y'all think we got it bad, let's look at Nero real quick. It says, in AD 64, a 9-day fire destroyed a great portion of Rome. Persistent tradition has it that Nero himself was responsible for starting the fire. Whether this is true or not, he shifted the blame to the suspicious group of people known as Christians and instigated a rather severe persecution of this new religion. Some were covered with skins of animals and torn by dogs, while others were covered with pitch and burned as torches in Nero's garden. The historian Tacitus makes it clear that the Christians were generally regarded as innocent victims of the excessive cruelty of a warped monster in need of a scapegoat. Man, we haven't entered that part of persecution. We hadn't entered that part of submission. This is the guy he's writing about and telling them to submit to the king and to the governors. You know? Wow. That can't be done without worshiping God, from my perspective. You know? You're not ever gonna want to do that. I can't coach you up enough to do that. I can't make you want to do that. Wow. So let's go to verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. I'm sorry, I'll let y'all get back over to 1 Peter. Okay. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. See, I think the key part of that verse right there is doing good. See, that's the whole thing about this, submitting. And this is just the one area we're talking about, submitting to government authorities. But basically, we're talking about doing those good works that people get to see where they can glorify our Father in heaven, being that masterpiece. See, this doing good, when we do good, we have the opportunity to silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. The problem is, we're so busy trying to fix our world and others that we're not working on ourselves. You know, we got to do good. We're worried about everybody else messing up. We're worried about the economy and all this thing. We're trying to fix our world so much, we're not doing good anymore. We're as focused on the economy as the world is. We've forgotten to do good. We've forgotten to still praise God when we don't have any money. But we're called to do that. We're supposed to be above reproach. That means nothing sticks if somebody says something about us, you know. And we're supposed to be exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. That's the thing that can silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Because we got these fruits that if we'll exhibit as Christians, they're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That was hard to do without singing. That's how I remember them. Y'all do such a great job with those kids. But the last part of that verse is what I want to talk about. It says, against such as these, there is no law. See, if we begin to do that, there's no way that the law is going to say anything against us if we begin to do the love, joy, peace, patience. We don't have to worry about the king because there's no law against what we're doing. It says, verse 16 says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. And that just seems weird. In one part of the verse, he says, live as free men. And in the second part of the verse, he says, live as servants. So what does that mean? I mean, I think I talked about that a little earlier. I think there is a time to stand up for what's right. Okay? Because we're free. We're not under the law anymore. We're free. We're free men. We submit to authority as long as it doesn't conflict with the law of God. See, we see that in Acts 4. If y'all want to turn over there, Acts 4. And I'm just going to continue on. In Acts 4, Peter and John, this same Peter, Peter and John had healed a cripple. And it had stirred up so much of an uproar that people began to get saved because they gave Jesus all the credit for it. Well, the religious folks didn't like that. And they said, you know what? You guys got to stop talking about Jesus. And so we pick up in verse 18, Acts 4, verse 18. And they'd already called them in and told them to quit talking about Jesus. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Christian, does that ruffle your feathers right there? What if somebody told you that you couldn't speak the name of Jesus at all? Whatever authority. Look what Peter said. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So there is a time to fight. There is a time to express your opinion. You know what? And the time is now for, I think, the Church of the Living God to be able to speak out into the marketplace. There's a lot of things going on that we need to speak up about. But the main thing that we need to really be worried about is if somebody says we can't talk about Jesus, man, that's worth fighting for. He said, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. That slaves, see, we belong to God. We're on display to use as he pleases. We're his masterpiece. We seem to always want to defend our rights and freedoms. The Bible doesn't say, you know, I was looking at this. We want to go ahead and defend our rights and freedoms all the time. You know, we're still certain. I mean, we're free men. But then all of a sudden, we want to sit here and defend our rights about the freedom to do things. So, well, the Bible doesn't say that you can't do this. The Bible doesn't say that you can't do that. So we fight so much about our freedoms and the things that we can do instead of living as servants of God and say, well, what does the Bible say I can do or I should do? The Bible says love each other above yourself. See, we need to quit focusing on what the Bible doesn't say and that we actually have the freedom to do. We need to begin to say, what does the Bible say that we need to be doing as Christians? Okay? In verse 17. It says, show proper respect to everyone. And in verse 17, he gave us there's four things. One of those is show proper respect for everyone. It's kind of the final part of this little section. And it gives us some tangible things that we can do to submit. Show proper respect to everyone. See, when you show respect, that's acts active. You can see that you're doing something. Okay, you show proper respect. People know if you respect them or not, okay? But the submission is not limited to just people over you. In 1 Corinthians, we talked about this verse here earlier. 1 Corinthians 9:19, Paul says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. Why? Why does he make himself a slave to everyone? To win as many as possible. So you serve folks and you respect folks because you make yourself a slave to everyone so you can win as many as possible. That's the goal of doing this. See, I'm tired of selfishly motivated Christianity. I personally am, you know. People that just want to do Christianity the way they want to do Christianity. I'm tired of that. And so are unbelievers. They're tired of it as well. We're called to love the brotherhood of believers. That's to love the church. The local and universal church. I mean, if you're a believer and you don't have no use for the church, man, you got a problem. Because the church is the bride of Christ. See, we're told to love the brotherhood of believers. And see, we really ought to love other churches as well. And that's one of the things that this church has been called to, I think, I began the process of just kind of popping in on different churches and trying to hang out with the pastors. I did it this week, and it was a great blessing. And so I'm going to continue to do that because here's the thing. If we're the only church doing things right, man, we might as well pity the world. There's a lot of great churches that, for one, we need to be praying for. We need to be coming along. We need to be getting to know them a little bit better. We need to find out who in the world that God has around here that we can do ministry together. Because we got to love the brotherhood of believers. And that's not just this church, but that includes this church. It says, fear God. That's the holy dread of displeasing God. And it's the same thing. It'll motivate us to worship. And if we fear God, if we're people that fear God, people are going to notice. Others will notice if you live in a way that worships God. Honor the king. And this is the king he's talking about. And the king we're talking about, he's not talking about Jesus, the king right here. He's talking about honoring the king, this king, this Nero, Obama at our point, you know. That's our king at this point, whether we like it or not, okay? It doesn't matter. Because here's the thing. We need to quit putting our faith in a man. Or a social program. Or we got to quit putting our faith in a bailout. Lord, the only bailout is salvation. Bails you out of this life. I mean, it's ridiculous that we sit there and we worry so much of this. That's the only way you're getting out of this. I'm ready. You know, that's it. And so we need to be putting our faith in those. But it says, this is what it says. Give high praise and status to another. That's what honor the king means. In word and deed. So it's not okay for us Christians, you know, to be bad-mouthing the president in a way that's negative and pointed straight at him, okay? Now, I do want to suggest to you that as things come down the pike, and it could possibly get worse, there are times where the Christians have to stand up. There is a time to say to the king, uh-uh, no, we ain't about to do that. Because God's word says, I don't have to do that. That's why. That's the only reason. Other than that, we'll submit to our president, whether you voted for him or not. So how in the world can we do this? I don't know, but I know three men who did. And so we're going to turn over to Daniel chapter 3, called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I may have to put my glasses on this one because I can't read my Bible real good without them. But this is a great story. See, and there's this story here. It's kind of long, but I'm going to read quite a bit of it because there's some really good stuff in here. Because you got some guys that the king said that whoever, at the sound of the, let's see what it says, they were commanded to bow down to the king, to the idol that the king had made, King Nebuchadnezzar. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were men of God, and they just couldn't do that. Okay, so let's look at how you, because what, as we look at this story, I want you to realize that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they bowed down to the king when it come time for the to submit into the punishment, but they didn't bow down to him when it come time to deny God, okay? And so he said, you must deny and worship these idols. Verse 13, it says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of God I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown in immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? That sounds like a challenge, huh? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Sometimes that's what we got to say. We don't have to defend ourselves. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Amen. Praise the Lord for guys who will stand for the truth. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers of his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of a god. Looks like a son of the gods. Praise God, man. He never leaves us to just fend for ourselves. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. I want y'all to listen to this. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, that's just totally amazing. You know, a fire that just killed the guys that just thrown them into the fire, they don't even smell like smoke. That is amazing. But look at the impact of that kind of faith and that and what God did there. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, this is what it's all about. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. Amen. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. See, standing for God's worth it. And it works. But you know, these are stories, and as you'll notice, you know, I want the Old Testament and the New Testament to speak to us as well, because it's all God's Word. And you hear a story like that at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we've probably heard it as kids, and there's a lot of these stories that are in the Old Testament that we've heard. But to some of y'all, that's just a story. But to me, it's the Word of God. I believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in the fire with God. You know, I believe that with all my heart. Okay, this is not a fairy tale. So I equally believe when God says, submit to every authority to man, okay, known to man. And so we really have to realize that this Word of God is able to do a lot of things. And we've got to give it credit, and we've got to give it the power, and we've got to give it the access to our life if we're going to do that. Some of us are looking at submission as a defiant duty instead of an act of worship. So you're trying to wrap your mind around it instead of accepting the position in Christ as his chosen child, and he wishes to put on display to the world and reflect his glory. See, you are dearly loved, whether you believe it or not. And there's absolutely no way that you're ever going to even leave here today and say, you know what, I'll give that a try. Doing these things, these unheard of things, because to give God glory, to make him famous, to let him use my life to bring others to Christ. You know what, I'll give that a try. There's absolutely no way you're going to even do that when you leave here if you don't have Christ. And so one of the things, I mean, I'm not going to beg you to come to Christ. Because this is like this submission. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to coerce you to come to Christ. Because it'd be like the little kid that's sitting down on the inside, on the outside, but standing up on the inside. You know, there's not no emotional response. So what we do here at Living Hope Bryan, there's some cards on the back. They're the visitor's card, and the gospel is clearly presented there. I mean, and so I really just ask that you just read it and realize that, you know, here's the thing about our God. He pursues us when we're running from him. But he's not going to tackle none of us. You know, he's not going to tackle any of you. He wants you to submit to him out of an act of worship. Okay, he wants you to turn to him. So the reason some of y'all are having so much trouble is submitting to authorities or any other aspect of your life because you've never submitted to God. And until you do that, you'll never, never, never be able to do it. And so I'm going to make those available to you if you want to fill them out. And so as the worship team comes up, I'm going to pray. And if you want to get one of those cards, you fill them out and put them in the offering plate. And if you want somebody to contact you, we'll do that. But the gospel doesn't have to be proclaimed in any specific way, any specific style, or anything like that. Any emotions involved in it. It's on the back of that card. And if you accept the stuff on the back of that card, the Bible says you stay. But we want to hear about it. You know, if you accept Christ, you're going to change. Okay. So let's pray. Father, Lord, I just bow before you this evening. And I just don't know that, Lord, if your word is as clearly proclaimed tonight as it needs to be, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you take even the words that I've spoken tonight, Lord, and just remove all the doubt, Lord, remove all the things, Lord, the confusion. Lord, because of what I've seen this week, that Satan doesn't want it to work. He does not want any of us to come to know you. He does not want any of us to begin to live this life out in front of folks, Lord, that they may glorify you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just do something amazing in this place tonight. Lord, save people, Lord, and just do what you do. And I pray that nobody comes to you out of compulsion. Lord, that no one comes to you out of just this need. I just pray, Lord, that they would come to you out of their desire to want to submit to you because they love you.
You know, one day every tongue will confess that he is God. Willingly or unwillingly. So this next song, we're about to sing this part, says, one day every tongue will confess you're God, and one day every knee will bow. But still the greatest treasure is for those who choose him now. So let's choose God now. Let's choose to bow before him now. Willingly submit. God, we come to worship you. We come to worship you with our lives. We come to worship you with our money. God, it's really not ours anyway. It's all yours, Lord. I pray, God, that as we do this, Lord, it is a joyful thing for us. A blessing to be a part of what you're doing, God. Not something that we feel like we have to do. Again, submission. God, that we willingly submit. That we willingly submit our money, God, to what you're doing. God, we trust you. We know you'll take care of things, God. We pray, God, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Y'all for coming out tonight. Man, through all this and all the little stories and all the things that you try to share up here, I mean, there's just one thing I just want you guys to know out of everything that we said tonight, is that we serve a God that's worthy of everything that we're called to do. And man, I just want y'all to get that. Because if we ever get that, it's going to change everything. Because you're going to lose sleep. You're going to sacrifice time. You're going to be a new creation. I mean, because our God is worthy. And I know I'm preaching. I look out in here, I'm preaching to the choir. But y'all need to take that message out here. And how that's going to happen is that when we begin to submit and we begin to do exactly what God tells us to do, we're going to look like aliens. People are going to want to know who painted that cool picture. We're masterpieces, okay? Don't never forget that. So we're going to have a closing song, but and we're going to give everybody about 10 minutes to get their kids and stuff, and then we're just going to come back in here real quick and do the quick business meeting. Brother Joe Montgomery will be leading that. And so basically kind of what it is we started with a certain budget thinking that we were going to be over at the school and stuff like that. Well, God has blessed us financially here at Living Hope Bryan, and we're not even spending as much money as we felt like that we were going to, you know, because we've got a lot of servants here. We're not paying a whole lot of people to do a whole lot of things. And so one of the things that we always wanted to do was we wanted to be very proactive with our money. And so we're just wanting to ask you guys permission to move some money around so we can get busy doing ministry. And so anyway, just want to let you guys, if you want to hang around and visit for about 10 minutes, let everybody get their kids and then come back in here and we'll just do a short meeting real quick. Okay.